What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we have football games to discuss as the Red Raiders have kicked off the 2025 season and are officially 1-0 to start year four of the Joey McGuire era. We are recording. It is a Wednesday night. It is September 3rd. This is episode number 260. We've got a lot of Texas Tech football to get to. So with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin, well, we were at a packed Jones Stadium on Saturday, and I really mean packed for a cupcake game like Arkansas Pine Bluff, where you're expecting what happened to unfold. It was quite the turnout for the first half until the the storm hit during halftime, 90-minute delay, 8-minute quarters. There wasn't many people left by the end of that one, but before we dive into the game itself, what was it like being back at the Jones? All this anticipation for the season and the fans turned out for it.
Yeah, that was an incredible turnout. We kept talking about it pregame, walking in and whatnot. And, like, tailgate was good. Wasn't super early, but people eventually got out pretty good. And then, yeah, we were like, this feels like a big time conference night game type feel.
Felt like Colorado did last year, kind
students
of.
Students were just packed. Yeah. The season ticket holders were packed. The tortillas were flying. Like, it was a great, great atmosphere. So I hope we keep that up.
Yeah, I hope we keep that up. But definitely, like, the hype around the season, the fans definitely lived up to it. The tortilla toss was epic.
Yeah,
I think
it was.
Everybody threw a tortilla. I was recording and still threw a tortilla. So that was really fun. But ultimately, Texas Tech gets the W over Arkansas Pine Bluff, 67-7. I don't know why I typed it. I had a typo there. 67-7, an absolute domination from the Red Raiders. This one was never close, scoring on every single drive. It was 47-0 at the end of the first half. 90-minute weather delay. I honestly just thought they were going to cancel the game, but they did, I guess, the next best thing, which was trim the quarters down in half, play 2 8-minute quarters, get full stats, get the full game done, and get Arkansas Pine Bluff on their way back home and get the Red Raiders out of that game healthy. Red Raiders offense was firing. They scored on every single possession. They were averaging 10.5 yards per play. Barron looked good in his limited minutes. We'll get into him a little bit more after this. Defense was doing their thing, doing what you expected them to do in this one. The first team defense completely shut down this that offense. They had really no shot. It looked like you were playing a high school team almost. Defense just allowed 175 yards, added 3 sacks, an interception, special teams with a blocked punt as well. So just all things clicking in this first game like you needed to. What were your thoughts on the dominating victory on Saturday over the much, much inferior Arkansas Pine Bluff Golden Lions?
Yeah, we kicked ass, which was a great showing and a great feeling. We haven't got to start a season off that well in a long, long time. handled business super well. I think I heard, like, through some rumors that if they would have canceled at halftime, it wouldn't have been like an official game.
Yeah, I had heard that too. I think so, like, somebody mentioned that. I don't know the validity
of that. Come back out. Yeah, I don't know the validity of the rules. I'm sure there were a bunch of phone calls being made between who knows.
Yeah, everybody trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're Arkansas Pine Bluff, you're like, we're going to get the hell out of here.
They don't care. They're getting paid either way. They're also in the D2 level. Like, they're not even in the same level. They don't care. Like, it was kind of
more for safety than
I bet they wanted to cancel. They were probably like, can we just leave? And we were probably like, we kind of can't let you leave.
We kind of got to finish this.
We held them hostage for another
half. We don't want to be 11 games on the record at the end of the year. We need that 12th win.
And then, other general thing, that storm at halftime was crazy.
Yeah, it was wild. That was not fun.
It was, I mean, we also, at least us two personally, we weren't really paying attention to that. You know, we were.
Yeah, you know, watching the game.
Little buzz from pregame, watching the game, engulfed in the action. And then, you know, like 5 minutes to go, we hear like Casey Cowan become a weatherman. And he's like, hey, just letting y'all know there's a big storm coming with like possibly 60 mile an hour winds. We're like, ah, whatever. And we're walking out halftime. He's like, no, really. It's like here. And you looked over like, to the north and it was nuts to be like, out
Take cover if you can. And everybody just was like taken out off.
Yeah. It was like a giant, it was like a little hurricane just over the stadium, basically. And we had to run across campus to get to some shelter.
The pictures looked cool, but it did not feel cool at the time. I was like,
no, this was not fun to be in.
It's like we're about to get held on or something. Yeah. And we're just like,
luckily, we got out of there before it got like actually bad. So, like, that was great. To the game. Wow. I mean, I don't think you can expect anything more from this, like just in general. Like you just mentioned, defense was spectacular. I mean, they were just driving dudes back into the quarterback. I'm surprised the quarterback didn't have to change pants every possession he was out there, because he was having a tough time. The punter had a very rough time, which I also heard is their starting shortstop. They got eligible 2 days before. So no wonder he kind of sucks. They were just trying to get the best athlete they could.
Somebody who can try to get it up.
And then, yeah, like the cherry on top, I think, was how good the offense looked in scoring every drive. Those first, like, three out of the first four drives were, like, less than three or four plays. Like, we didn't have that many long drives. I think it was halfway through the first quarter, like, third or fourth possession. I mean, you were like, oh, this is actually good that we have to like drive down the field and we don't start at the 30-yard line.
We're like, it's nice to actually have to go the distance this time.
So yeah, everybody looked good, and we even kind of shat on, you know, former offense coordinators for you know, like we scored in two or three or four plays from the 30-yard line, whereas you know, previous coordinators might have taken 10, 12 plays and maybe not even scored.
We didn't have a single drive that went over in double digit plays.
I liked the downfield aggressiveness of them. I also liked how our tight ends looked big and useful. Now we've had big tight ends for a while, and y'all know we really like them, but they looked very useful and used in the game. And we liked that. So there's got a lot of general thoughts for you, man.
Yeah, I didn't really go and look back at the like play-by-play stuff, but yeah, you know, five plays, 70 yards, touchdown, eight plays, 80 yards, touchdown. Like, it's nice to be able to score going that length of the field and only five plays. And sure, it's a weak opponent, but
you know, a lot of big chunk plays.
Yeah, chunk plays were good. Barron looked really good up until the moment, and that'll be the other big story from this one is in the second quarter there, kind of before halftime, Barron goes down with a kind of a not good looking hit. Looked like a bad leg injury, but all things look good, apparently, with hyperextension is what Joey McGuire has said, so that he's just really sore. But that it's nothing major, which is good to know, but kind of a scare there. You're enjoying the vibes of the game, and then of course we can't enjoy anything as Texas Tech fans before having our quarterback go down with what looked like not a super great injury. What were your thoughts on the Barron injury and everything we've been hearing since?
Yeah, that sucks, and it's kind of, you know, not his fault, also not the offense coordinator's fault like some previous ones have been.
This one was
blind
more
rush. Cam Dickey just missed and whiffed, was late. So that's where you kind of miss the Quentin Joyner experience. He might have known that was coming, known to pick it up.
That's where you miss Taj.
And massively you miss Taj on that stuff, because he was a great blocker for you. Yeah. So it sucks. Great thing is, should be great. We're just hearing it's soreness, kind of muscles, whatever, but like nothing is actually hurt, broken, whatever, torn, none of the bad words associated, just some soreness. I wouldn't expect him to play this week with who we got on deck, you know? And then Will Hammond looked good in his time. So that's the other kind of plus, not trying to take his job. No, I'm not saying that, but it wasn't a oh crap, like Jake Strong moment from last year, you know.
Yeah, Hammond had the longest rush of the game.
And got up to 20 miles an hour on that rush.
Wheels Hammond. Yeah. Yeah, I think like it's obviously concerning. Hopefully everything's okay. And yeah, I would just, you know, if you're playing Oregon State this week, then I would expect them to play. But luckily you're playing a team who is not very good as well. So, you know, maybe he goes out there for a drive. I know Joey mentioned that, you know, him and Mac are pretty locked in right now, and so he wants to keep that rhythm going. So maybe you see him for a drive or two. I just can't see it being anything long, other than maybe just to keep him in rhythm, and the play calling kind of going. And so maybe that, but ultimately glad we dodged a bullet there. Would have sucked with all that offseason hype and then just immediately lose him against such an inferior opponent on a fluke play like that would have been. But, you know, glad it's not the shoulder. So, you know, hopefully he can still keep slinging it. We're not expecting him to be a huge mobile piece for you. So as long as he can throw it, I'm good with it. Hopefully he's okay. The other kind of big injury from the first game was Mikael Dingle did get injured. And that one looks like it's probably I haven't seen them announce it yet. I might have missed it, but it looked like it might be a season ender or at least a lengthy one.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I haven't seen anything specifically on it either. So
yeah,
I'll kind of also talk more about that in our defensive breakdown coming up.
Yeah, we'll get to him a little bit later. But I think that's the only thing from the game is like you just want to get through that game healthy. And, of course, Barron getting dinged up, not ideal. But it was nice getting to see all, you know, Will Hammond and Mitch Griffiths getting to get some run out there. And so we've had these, like you said, we've had these before where you're hoping to get some young guys playing and then all of a sudden you're battling it out with ACU in overtime or Wyoming's coming to get you. So it's nice to just dominate, get the guys all in there. And you had some freshmen make some touchdowns, Bryson Jones, Leighton Stone, Mitch Griffiths, everybody came in.
Pretty much everybody on your depth chart played.
Yeah. And did something like had a tackle, had a catch, had to, like made some sort of play. So that's exactly
you went three deep in this game.
So that's exactly what you want to see in this type of game. So first win is out of the way. We know these first two games aren't the highest of opponents. So we're going to take now before we dive into Kent State, our next opponent, to take a look at the defense. We took a look at the offense last week, kind of dove into each position, got you familiar with the names. I'm sure after watching this week, you're familiar with all the names because, like we just said, got to call them all because everybody was playing.
That's what I say. You probably don't know. You probably don't know too many names.
Yeah, you might know all of the names at this point, but it's time to shift our focus to talk about the Texas Tech defense, get familiar with what the names are and who what to expect from this team. New defensive coordinator Shil Wood takes over after the departure of Tim DeRuiter last year after an abysmal season by the defense. Shil Wood comes in looking to clean up that side of the ball. He had himself a pretty good defense at Houston last year. He also spent time at Tulane as the DC when he followed I can't remember Houston coach name right now, Fritz, something like that, Willie Fritz, to Houston and had, you know, not a good Houston team, but they had a solid defense. And so he's looking to build off that defense here. And of course, we brought him a lot of pieces in the portal and you had some pieces stay that you're pretty excited about to be able to transition this defense from what it was last year into what you're hoping to be. Maybe a catalyst for this team to make that Big 12 championship run, make that potential college football playoff berth. So, Dustin, your thoughts on Shil Wood and what he brings to the Texas Tech defense?
I really love this hire. I know we talked a lot about the OC and how our disdain for the previous and like the upgrade there, but really needed a defensive change after the first few seasons of what we thought was supposed to be a good and aggressive defense and, you know, trying to build it on your own. And that was not happening. And there was no positive movement in that area. And you said enough of that. You go get Shil Wood. You brought in tons of guys for him. When we go over this depth chart in just a minute, there's not a lot of guys from last year's team that are starting anymore. You have pretty basically linebackers, and that's it. And that's your only decent position from the previous year and year before on their depth chart. And so you needed an overhaul. And some dudes stuck around. Some guys wanted playing time, and I get that. And you can't fault them for that. But like, it should be much, much better. And like you said, Sherwood has a great track record, especially like in first year jumps.
Yeah.
He did it at Tulane. He did it at 2 years later at Houston. And so he knows how to do it, and he knows how to get it across to his guys to let them do it. And it's like, I love that he has that track record already. And so it looks great on the field already. I know we didn't play much, but we definitely showed the part for sure.
Yeah, it definitely showed out. Definitely looked like a force out there on Saturday. And yeah, I'm excited. I think, you know, he's been good at his other stops, and now you're just giving him a whole lot of talent.
Yeah, he's never had this much talent, that's for sure. Yeah,
and so that's got to be the exciting part for him. You're just like, damn, look at all these pieces that I got to work with. My defense has shown to prove that it can work kind of wherever I've gone. And so now you got these pieces. You got Shilwood. You've got Joey McGuire, Cody Campbell ready to get this thing going. And they showed out on Saturday. So now it's time to go through position by position, get familiar with the guys, what to expect. So let's start up with the big boys up front, the defensive tackles. Dustin will be taking over this room.
Yeah, the D tackles and the couple DNs we brought in are definitely the highlights that I'm excited about and looked amazing last Saturday. If I had to pick one single player I like the most out of our transfer defensive portal, it's number two, Lee Hunter.
Big Lee Hunter.
Massive defensive tackle at 330 pounds in the middle. I don't know if I kept saying this. I don't know if he's the biggest number two or that is the smallest number two I've seen on a jersey before because of how much space he takes up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a second team Big 12 guy last year on a UCF team that didn't do much. And now he's coming in, doesn't have to be the focal point of the D-line. I mean, we literally have four guys that are at least second team type Big 12 guys across the board here. And so, like, he's in the middle there. He said massive senior transfer. And then your other guy is very, very skilled too. Skyler Gill-Howard is probably overlooked in this group just because you have three other really badass names. But he's just another senior transfer from Northern Illinois that's highly wanted. Those two guys in the middle, they just need to, set up shop and let running backs and quarterbacks step up to them. They don't have to do a lot is the kind of good thing because of the DNs that we got that you're talking about. And then our backups there, a couple familiar names, Jaden Cofield and Morgan Banks. And you also added AJ Holmes in there as well. So you're deeper than usual. I mean, you've sparingly had maybe one good D tackle sometimes in the past few years. Now you have at least two good ones and your backups are solid too. So the big boys in front should definitely help make an impact.
Yeah, since Jalen Hutchings and Tony Bradford were here having to play like every single snap for you.
But they had to try to do so much just because you didn't have to do everything. The defensive ends to help.
It was like thing. Yeah, it was like they had to play, I think, every snap for you.
No doubt.
And if they weren't,
like
you
2 years.
And then, so this time it's like, all right, you got some guys. I've heard some good things about Anthony Holmes as a guy who could kind of be a dark horse. I really like Skyler Gill-Howard. And, of course, Big Lee Hunter.
Big Lee.
Love having a massive guy like that. He seems just like a really fun guy to root for, too. Seems like everybody on the team loves him. And Skyler Gill-Howard made, after the game, he was still wearing his jersey. He was like, I don't want to take it off because I love being a Red Raider. I'm like, damn, that gets me.
One so game
now
in.
I'm already like, already liked him. But now I'm like, damn, all right, let's go. So, fun group there. And then that'll transition us to our edge rushers who it's like a new, kind of you just got to talk about the edge rushers on their own now. Yeah. They're not really linebackers. They're not really defensive linemen either. They're But yeah, the other two big transfer portal gets that everybody's excited about that put you up into one of the top five defensive fronts in college football. David Bailey, the transfer from Stanford, and Romello Height, the transfer from Georgia Tech. David Bailey last year, 31 tackles, 22 solo, 7 sacks last season. Romello Height, 34 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 interception last season. And both of these guys came and looked just like something we haven't seen at the defensive or at like the edge since Tyree Wilson was here, and maybe even then, like, still a little bit just faster. Like, I don't know. So there were some plays that Romello Height had that I was – and same with David Bailey.
Speed was like, crazy.
Holy hell. Like, I mean, we might have not had a whole lot of sacks in that game, but, I mean, they were getting to the quarterback so fast. He was just having to chunk it. Like, it just, like, their way to get off on the snap and just
one
immediately
play, Romello
get back
threw
there.
His left tackle 5 yards.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. He had like a 91 or something PFF grade.
I thought I wrote it down. Man, I'm sorry. Yeah, he did have like a 90 point something PFF grade from last week.
But they just like jumped off the field. You're just like watching them. I just remember you and me just sitting there like, all right, you watch David Bailey this time. I'll watch Romello Height. And it would just be like, holy shit. What is, like, just stuff we haven't seen in a while. You know, we were supposed to get it a couple years ago with Steve Linton and Miles Cole, and that didn't happen. Last year, there was really no pass rush. And so these are two guys that you're really excited about to give you a weapon that you really haven't had, is the ability to rush the passer, put pressure on the quarterbacks, and that should theoretically help out your defensive backs and your linebackers, and it definitely did on Saturday. So really excited about these guys. The other names kind of on here, and really none of them have really a whole lot of stats too, so that's like, it is kind of the concerning thing. You don't have a whole lot of experience beyond that, but you got Charles Ester as a senior who had 18 tackles last season. You got Terrell Tillman, who's a senior. He's coming off of injury. I believe Dylan Spencer is also coming off an injury. He's a redshirt sophomore. You got Cheeto Philly, redshirt freshman. Eddie Smith, a redshirt freshman. I don't know how much you're going to see from them, but they might get some time here or there. Ansel Nadore and Braylon Rigsby are also sophomores that, Braylon Rigsby got a little time last year. He had 18 tackles. Maybe he's a guy who can find his way into the lineup. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of David Bailey, and it's going to be a lot of Romello Height, and they're going to be two guys that you're going to depend on in a lot of these big games to cause havoc and get to the quarterback, but also be able to stop the run and contain. So, I'm really excited about these edge rushers. I was really excited to watch them Saturday. I thought they looked great. What are your thoughts on this group of edge rushers, specifically David Bailey and Romello?
Yeah, this is by far the best like combo we've had maybe ever. Like, we've had like one here and there that's a stud.
Yeah.
Or leads the Big 12 in sacks, but never like two like this. And yeah, the size, the speed, it's like they had everything. And like, it was incredible to watch Saturday. I'll be impressed to see, or interested to see how they look like in 2 weeks when they play Oregon State, and then, you know, Utah in a few weeks when we're playing actual D1 solid athletes out there.
And like a top like offensive lineman group in the country. I think they have like two projected first round picks. So
we're going to really hammer this matchup get to Utah, everybody. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just the four guys we mentioned starting up front were ridiculous Saturday. They all made plays. They were all disruptors. And like that's something we haven't got to see before. And that's going to make everybody else so much better if those three or four guys can cause so much havoc that our linebackers can pretty much do whatever they want. And our DBs don't have to cover and can jump some routes. Like, it really starts up front, and we have four really good dudes there.
And it makes quarterbacks uncomfortable when they got guys rushing them. You know, if you're able to rush with four and you're able to drop all those other defensive backs back, like, man, we've seen teams win Super Bowls by just doing that. So it's like, not saying that that's going to do that for you, but it's just going to make the quarterbacks uncomfortable. They're going to throw the ball to your team a lot more. You're going to cause fumbles. It's just – it's awesome when you have that, and we just haven't been able to see that. So I'm real excited about this group. It was really fun to watch them on Saturday. I can't wait to see them just kind of improve, get better, go up against some real competition and see what they look like then. But a fun group of and the defensive front for the Red Raiders this season is very exciting, but a group that had to get pretty much overhauled to try to get you something this year that you can be a respectable defense. I need some defensive backs, and so we turn it over to Dustin, who's going to run us through a bunch of new names and some familiar faces for the defensive back room.
Yeah, half my page here is the overhaul DB room. this also includes that nickel star position, which we just kind of talked about. We'll be changing a little bit. Yeah, your defense secondary was super shit last year, to say it nicely. Yep. And a lot of those guys graduated. I mean, CJ Basser was probably your only good one, and he was kind of in that star role. I mean, Mo Horn decided to come back, and he was your number one corner, and now he's maybe starting as the backside corner. Might not even be starting that all season or every game. Like, that's how much you came and brought to this team. So let's start there in the corners. Bryce Pollock, junior transfer from Mississippi State, very highly sought after transfer. He'll be number 14. And then Dante Balfour, also a senior transfer from Charlotte. And Amir Boyd, he's the UTEP transfer. He got the interception in that first half for you. Jumped the slant route. Very nice pick. Something we didn't see at all last year. Corner be able to do there. Those are going to be like your four main corners, with Mo Horn also at those positions. Like I said, major upgrades to that. Major depth there as well. Whereas last year, like, if Mo Horn was down and, you know, Macho Stevenson was your other guy, you were not comfortable having to cover anybody. So not great there. So huge, huge upgrades at corner. And again, they shouldn't have to cover as long as these last couple of years. So that helps a ton. Our secondary, or our deep guys, familiar name, maybe Brendan Jordan at safety, number 7 junior there. And I think one of the best pickups we made, especially for the secondary, our free safety, Cole Wisnowski, number 5. He's our senior transfer from North Dakota State. Did not play last year, had a knee injury, but was very, very good at that level. He seems like he's going to be like that secondary captain type to make sure everybody's in spot, make sure everybody's rotating correctly, that kind of situation. And then lastly, he kind of got that nickel, that star position. Got some good names in here. AJ McCarty, we kind of have heard before. He might play this. He might also shift in at one of those corner positions. He's kind of a do-it-all. He's kind of taking that CJ Baskerville type role. But your two main guys here were going to be John Curry and Mike Dingle. Kind of just mentioned the knee injury with Dingle. So might not see him for a while or the rest of the year. So you're probably going to see a lot more John Curry at that position, redshirt sophomore, one of your own, but that's in a good way.
Coronado High.
Yes. So, yeah, a lot of new names, a lot of upgrades as well, though. Like I only mentioned, Jordan, Mohorn, and your nickel position as returning. You pretty much have
Chapman Lewis, but he's somewhere dinged up to start this season.
Right. Yeah, I was just going on like this last week's depth chart and like kind of where we are right now. Yeah, you still got a couple guys that you can add as well. That's the other thing. You're, like I mentioned with the corners, your depth is so much better. Like, this Mike Dingle injury doesn't ruin your defense. Might ruin the how much they get to play with John Curry around the field. But, you know, yeah, it's not like the biggest thing to lose Dingle and have Curry sitting in one position.
Yeah, luckily you had a lot of different pieces kind of lined up to play there. It is unfortunate because it's like the same with the Quentin Joyner thing. It's like you had Jacoby Williams as like this piece you're going to use in a lot of different areas. But then the Quentin Joyner injury happens, so you can't do that. And you're like, John Curry is going to be a little bit of linebacker, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then you have this injury. So you kind of Don't get a really.
But maybe that helps. All that, but you know, he's still young. Maybe that helps him grow better. Maybe. He's able to focus on one position.
Yeah, maybe that does. We saw that happen to Bryn Roberts his like freshman year when Jacob Rodriguez went down, and he just kind of got thrown to the fire. And next thing you know, he becomes one of your next best linebackers. So, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see. I feel bad because I was really excited for Dingle. I think he's like one of those just kind of like freak athlete players who are just like when he's on the field, you just like want to watch him because he's just so fast and so athletic. So it's hopefully not as bad of an injury. I just haven't heard any updates, so hopefully he's okay. Yeah. But I'm definitely curious. You know, I'm definitely ready to see this team play like better competition and see what the secondary looks like, what that overhaul looks like against good competition, good receivers, a good quarterback, what Shilwood's defense can do against that. And so I'm really curious to see. But you know, this first game, they were great. They did what they were supposed to do against what's not a good quarterback and not a good offense. And that wasn't the case last year. You know, it didn't really matter who the quarterback was or the offense was. They were going to be able to move the ball on you. So promising start from these guys. We'll move on to the linebackers. The linebackers are going to be names that we're pretty much mostly familiar with here. It was the one group that we really didn't hit the portal on, didn't feel the need to. Because he brought back Jacob Rodriguez, the Big 12 preseason defensive player of the year, who had 127 tackles for you. I just have to keep saying that because that's just ridiculous.
Yep.
78 of them solo, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 interception last season. He's been your defensive leader for the last couple years when he's been healthy. You also bring back Bryn Roberts, who's now a junior. 84 tackles last season, 3 forced fumbles on the season. Also, you know, we'll mention John Curry in here too, as you brought him into the star, but you know, he still might play linebacker for you depending on where he needs to be. Bryce Ramirez, a guy that Red Raider Nation knows and loves. Unfortunately, he's had to deal with some injury issues. Of course, the leg injury 2 years ago, was a little injured last season, so he didn't play fully healthy for you, but he's another just vocal leader, guy that you love to root for, who's back and going to be hopefully a major piece for this defense. Some other names to kind of keep an eye on. We might not see them a whole lot, but with the Mike Dingle injury and John Curry being your star, maybe that creates an opportunity for one of these guys to kind of step up and fill some backup linebacking roles. That's Justin Horn, Wesley Smith, Trent Lowe, and freshman Brock Galwas. I've heard his name mentioned a couple times. Level mentioned him as like a potential guy who you could see maybe kind of do a little bit of the Bryn Roberts thing. Not saying he's going to be freshman Bryn Roberts, but that he's been pretty good, was a pretty high recruit freshman who could see some playing time this year if injuries go that way. But I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this because I was listening to Level and Cowan talk about it, but this was one of the groups that you didn't hit the portal on. Getting Jacob back was Jacob Rodriguez back was kind of like your big portal thing there, right? Getting to keep him from graduating and keeping him in college for another year. But now with the Mike Dingle injury, it's kind of similar to running back, where it's like, do you think that we should have gotten maybe one more piece here, or do you feel pretty comfortable with where we're at? Because I feel comfortable with where we're at with those guys, but I mean, one more of these guys goes down, then you kind of get nervous, I think.
Yeah, you are closer to a one away situation, but you have 3 really good ones returning that you mentioned, all with really good experience. And so I think that makes you fine and good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, you're not playing all 3 of them at the same time ever. Like, it's just not how football is anymore. There's 1 or maybe 2 of them on the field at the time, and one of them subs in, and you kind of rotate. So you also already have a little bit of built-in depth just with the structure of defense, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not as worried. Yeah, if we do have, well, Bryce Ramirez breaks leg again, which probably won't happen. But if you're one away, that does start to make you worried.
Yeah.
What happens after that? So,
but I also think that's the flexibility with the star position and the other guys who can sit there. If like, all right, John Curry, we need you at linebacker now, he can kind of transition back over there, and you got McCarty or somebody, maybe when Chapman Lewis comes back in, Brandon Jordan can fill that role. Like, you got other guys.
Yeah, like you just said, like, if you want to get flexible with it, like, you can put Curry at a linebacker spot and shift McCarty to your as more of a DB star, whereas Curry's more of a linebacker star. You know, you can kind of flex that position a little bit, and so you kind of got players that can also help you do that.
Yeah.
You're not as rigid with your players anymore. Like,
right, yeah.
You've done a good roster building job of that also.
Yeah, there's still flexibility. It's just one of those positions where I think, like, that and running back, where it's like one injury away from possibly being like, oh gosh. But so you just got to hope for health, hope that these guys can stay healthy. You got a good group of them right now. But yeah, so that's our defense. Real quick, do we want to hit special teams? Do we want to save special teams for?
I looked at special teams, you know, just because we might talk about it, and then I was like, well, we didn't punt, and we used like four kickers, and I think we used six return men also. So I think we're just testing a lot out. So I'm not gonna worry about that yet. Maybe we'll talk about them next week.
Yeah, we'll maybe see.
Or bye week. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe once. Maybe it's not ever. Out, but we will shout out the guys who did kick field goals: Stone Harrington, Upton Belafonte, and Ian Hershey. Stone Harrington was a perfect 4-for-4 on extra points. Belafonte did miss one, but they were Stone and Upton were both 1-for-1 on their field goal attempts. So,
and we saw a lot of kickoffs go just out the back of the end zone.
Yeah,
that was
so
nice.
I don't know exactly who's the leader in the clubhouse there. Maybe it's Stone after Upton Belafonte missed a extra point, so we'll see. But yeah, a lot of different guys returning, so it seems like we're just kind of trying to figure things out. But you did get a punt block, which is fun, so we love blocks and stuff like that. And so that was fun to see. But all right, well, that's concludes our defensive preview for this upcoming season. Well, the season that's already happening. And before we get out today, we will go ahead and shift our focus to the Golden Flashes of Kent State, who head to town this weekend for a 11 a.m. kickoff, an early kickoff for the Red Raiders. I don't mind it when it's a bad team like this.
Agreed.
Wake up, get the game out of the way, and get on with our days. Kent State coming in 1-0 on the season, Dustin. That's big because they just broke their 21 game losing streak with their win.
Congratulations.
Over Merrimack last week. I think they had to win it off of a punt return for a touchdown.
Merrimack, tough game.
So I think they have a guy named I think their punt returner's name is like Darrealist or something like that. I mean, they got a dude with a cool name. But both teams coming into this game 1-0. Texas Tech a 48.5 point favorite in this one. Oof. So another large spread there for the Red Raiders. Did cover last week that 54.5 point spread. So shout out to the Red Raiders for covering. But so thoughts on this game. We're not going to dive too deep into the Golden Flashes. Sorry guys, but you're not good enough to get our full attention. We're thankful for you to come give us a chance to watch us play at the Jones. And I'm sure you're thankful for your paycheck that you're getting for this. But other than that, we're just going to hit this one real quick and get on with our nights.
Yeah, this should look a lot like last week. This should look like a Pine Bluff type game. You know, a lot of depth getting to play. Hopefully first team handles a lot of business in the first half. Hopefully there's not a mini hurricane at halftime and we can get this game over very quickly. I don't expect the defense to give up much after what we saw last week. Now that I know like where I can start to put some expectations a little bit on a subpar matchup. And then same with the offense. I don't expect much of a fall off with those guys. I mean, who's supposed to stop, you know, Terrence Carter, you know, like I still expect us to put up over 50 in this game.
Yeah, I think that's where my expectations go too. I think I went from last week being like, oh yeah, I don't think we can cover that, just because I haven't really seen us cover anything like that.
Yeah, so now I'm like, I was with you.
48.5, maybe we got that. You know, if it's Will Hammond, maybe it'll be a little bit, maybe we, you know, but it seemed like the offense was clicking pretty dang good with him too last week. So, yeah. You know, that would be my only thing on that one, is if Barron isn't playing, maybe the offense doesn't look as crisp, but I still believe in Will Hammond and I still believe in the offensive talent around him to compete and go out there and put up a lot of numbers. And yeah, I just kind of expect you to rinse and repeat what you did last week. Just go out there, dominate, show that you're a much better team, and make this one where, you know, we get to just have fun, drink and watch football, and then go on and enjoy our days after this game's over. And unfortunately, we don't get like a drone show. We ended up missing the drone show from last weekend, so there won't be any drone shows for this game because it's so early. But you know, it'll be fun, and the game will be done by like 2 o'clock, and we'll have the rest of the day. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yep, same. I'll throw a score out there for you: 59-7.
59-7. Okay.
First numbers that came to mind, to be honest. I was like, a lot to seven, because that's all they got last week. So.
I'm going to go 52-10.
No. Not covering.
I don't know what I'm going to go with. I didn't think about the score. I haven't been my score predictions. I don't know what I want to do with this one. It would be cool if we score 60 points again.
Yeah.
I want that to happen. Maybe I'll go 67-7. Repeat what we did.
Another 67. I like it.
That'd be fun. I'd be like, I'd start comparing Mac Leftwich to Zach Kittley's 50 burgers already. Like, fun fact, Mac Leftwich has never not scored 50 points.
Yep.
But all right. Well, we're looking forward to another game at the Jones on Saturday, an early one, so make sure you get up, get your breakfast burritos, your mimosas, your Bloody Marys, however you do it. Get to the stadium, enjoy your tailgates, get there early, watch the Red Raiders kick some Kent State Golden Flash ass, and then enjoy the rest of our Saturday tailgates. Dustin, before we get out of here for the week, you have a final shot for us.
Yeah, NFL also starts this weekend on Thursday night. So don't forget to set your fantasy lineups. If, you know, your positions might be a little out of place or whatnot, get those set, get those figured out. And lineups. We get games all the way Thursday through Monday, regular football weekend for the first week in months. So
good time.
Be ready. It's going to be a good time.
It's a good time of year. Football, fantasy football, college football. Fun. Can't wait for the season to kick off tomorrow night, although it's not going to be super fun for the Cowboys, I believe. It's
going to
be going to be fun for the Eagles, who coming off a Super Bowl. But, you know, as long as CeeDee Lamb has a great game, I'm okay. So, yeah, enjoy all those. My final shot, you know, Lee Corso going out with a bang on his last college game day ever. Every single one of his picks was correct. He went 6-0 in his picks. And then every single team that he coached in college also won that day. So just everything came out Lee Corso. Shout out to the legend. The game will miss you, but what a way to go out from the guy who made you want to get up on college football Saturday mornings to watch and see what headgear he would pull out. So shout out to Lee Corso on that. Shout out to the first week of college football. Shout out to Bill Belichick.
It was
getting
great.
His ass kicked.
Oh, man.
Shout out to TCU for doing that. That was pretty fun to watch, even though I hate watching TCU win, but that was still funny. Shout out to Alabama for losing. There's a lot of tears, a lot of good tears. Texas tears this weekend. Notre Dame tears, just a lot of good stuff happening. It's good to have college football back in our lives. It'll be good to have the NFL back in our lives this week. Enjoy your weekends watching football. Make sure you get up, walk around a little bit. You know, don't spend your whole weekend on the couch. Get up, stretch those legs, do a little walk around the neighborhood or whatever you got to do. As always, we'll catch y'all at the next tailgate.